Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today I'll chat with the directors of two extraordinary films that will be screened at the 2026 Women in Media Newark's Women's International Film Festival. The director of The Delivery Line, Midwives on the Front Lines, is Nance Ackerman.
My experience with midwives anywhere in the world, it's not just on the front lines of all these, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they love bringing children into the world in a nurturing, compassionate, safe way.
Kaveri Kaul is the director of The Bengali.
I went to India taking an African-American woman from New Orleans to India to discover the past of her grandfather, Sheikh Mohammed Musa.
The executive director of Women in Media Newark, Pamela Morgan, also joins us. All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. Women in Media Newark is an organization that educates the public about issues affecting the lives of women using film, video, and new media as its platform. Women in Media Newark's 2026 Women's International Film Festival runs July 30th through August 7th. The festival is free, but you must register for the screenings that will take place at various venues. The executive director of the Women in Media Newark organization is the multi-talented Pamela Morgan, who joins us today on the WBGO Journal. Let's first focus on the amazing film, The Delivery Line, Midwives from the Front Lines, directed by Nance Ackerman.
I couldn't unsee what I saw. I decided that I wanted to do something.
My job is to provide care, but to also say, I see you.
Nance, you tell us this story because you take us to so many different places around the world to meet these unbelievable midwives who are saving lives, both moms and children. It truly was an impactful show that people have to see. We'll tell you about where to see it in a moment. But Nance, tell us more about The Delivery Line.
Well, pardon the pun, but it was a real labor of love. It really started a long time ago, 2018. Actually, I think it started when I had my first child with a midwife. And I was high risk because I went into premature labor. And I think the only reason I had a healthy birth and a lovely home birth was because the midwife was so capable and calming and inspiring. And I think from then on, I've just loved childbirth and midwifery. And I also have been a photojournalist my whole career, mostly up until 20 years ago, I turned to film, but covering all these issues, you know, war, migration, you know, homelessness. And it basically was, I felt that the lens needed to shift to a female lens. You know, you hear on the news about conflict and wars, and it often is about, you know, the bombs, how many bombs went off, how many, you know, how many soldiers are there. It isn't necessarily about how it affects women and children and civilians. And I just felt that the lens needed to shift. And this was, you know, people are a little bit sick of these topics. You know, I think everyone I wanted something hopeful. So I chose to combine my two loves, and that's where I started.
It is interesting that you mentioned the word hopeful, because both of these films provide hope in different ways, and both of them deal with family issues and how to, you know, find peace and love within your own family and maybe within your own community as well. When it comes to your film, Nance, Your story, you mentioned you had a childbirth with a midwife. That story in itself is not a part of the documentary, but is a fascinating story itself. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm part Mohawk, and I was on the barricades. I don't know if any of you remember in 1990, there was quite a huge confrontation between the Mohawk and the Quebec government in Canada, and it resulted in a very violent coming down of the barricades with army and police, and I was there with my friends, supporting my friends behind the barricade and also documenting it. And I got dragged through a car window as I was trying to leave with my film, and that's what started the premature labor. So it kind of that started me off on a lot of different paths.
Nance Ackerman is a celebrated documentarian, photographer, filmmaker. She's been making images and film around the world for more than 30 years, and her documentary photography work has been featured in Time, Newsweek, New York Times. The list goes on and on. And she's covered wars in the Middle East, Afghanistan, the AIDS crisis in Africa, terrorism in Borno State. She describes her work as artivism, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, Nance. Creating art to create change.
Yeah, I mean, I think all document, I'm sure Kaveri feels the same way. It's a document. Documenting is, you don't just document for the sake of documenting, as at least I haven't. And I kind of felt it my responsibility to create art so that you build bridges of communication, so that people who haven't necessarily thought about that part of the world or that person's situation, ever in their lives, is now finding commonality. So to use art for activism, I think, it's not a new thing at all. I think most artists do that. It was just kind of a great way to label it. There are associations around the world now for artivists, and I think it's a wonderful way to, I actually would love to be an activist, and I kind of felt that because I care about so many different issues, this was the way I could do it.
And you're successful at it. It is truly a remarkable film. We'll talk about it more in just a minute. Award-winning Indian-American filmmaker Kaveri Kaul's documentaries challenge who we are and who tells the story. The founder of River Films, her works have been featured at major festivals all over the world. Her cultural documentaries include the theatrically released One Hand Don't Clap. If you missed that one, that's one you definitely want to check out. Tell us about the Bengali. You are a Bengali as well.
Indeed, I am Bengali as well. I was born in Kolkata and came here to the United States with my parents at the age of six. We were of the immigrant wave that arrived in the 1960s, and my mother told me we were not the first ones here. She was a history teacher, and she said, "You're not going to find it in the history books. So you'll have to learn about it yourself." So many years later, with this idea percolating in my head, I went to India, taking an American woman, an African American woman from New Orleans, to India to discover the past of her grandfather, Sheikh Mohammed Musa. Now, this uncovers the story, the untold story of the first Indians who came to the East Coast from India in the late 19th century and married African American women, the only community that welcomed them. Their descendants have immense admiration for these grandfathers who are legendary in their families, but they know so little about them. So we went on a quest, an insane quest, because it was quite hair-raising. As a filmmaker, I had no idea whether we would find where he came from, whether we would find family there, how they would respond to a descendant many generations down the line from a different culture. I was very concerned about taking someone to find out about their past and not being sure of what we would find. Would she be disappointed? Would she be shocked? What would happen? And of course, you know, I felt committed to the story, as most filmmakers do. I felt it needed to be told, and that despite all the twists and turns of the journey, we had to keep going. We had to take the risk. That's what filmmakers do. And every time I got worried, I would just take a deep breath and say, just focus on what you're trying to do. So that's the story behind the Bengali. And it's just been amazingly heartwarming to bring people to a film that shows them how their own family histories travel. And we are all part of a larger world.
Doesn't everybody want to see where their ancestors came from?
I was very young when I realized that my grandfather was not a native Louisianian. He had come from India.
I want to know if you can find some relatives.
My grandfather had land around here. Do you think I would even be able to find the property?
My biggest fear is that things that I believe will be false.
We're really lucky. A lot of Black people in this country don't really know where they came from.
My grandfather's journey is not the only journey. Many people's journey.
Fatima Sheikh's journey is, as you mentioned, it has its twists and turns. You really did take a major risk here, because if nothing was found out, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money would have been spent on a project that I'm sure you would have been disappointed in. When you do great work like you've done in this film, luck is involved, and I think luck was on your side because of the wonderful footage that you got. I don't know how you did it. I mean, I don't know how you were able to, because of all the restrictions that you faced in filming her journey. It's amazing. It was so well done, so well edited, that you deserve the luck that you got on this film.
Thank you. Thank you. And I have to say, again, it was a journey that could not have happened in the end without the enthusiasm and support of people there. Because we were looking for a place that didn't exist on maps. It was a remote village. Nobody knew of it. So I spread the word all over Kolkata, saying, I'm looking for this place. And the response could have been, are you crazy? What is it that you're trying to do? But instead, the response was, we'll help you find it. We'll help you find it. And so that was just wonderful. And beyond that, the story came to its fruition because, again, I was taking a woman there, and through the women of the village, there was a shared laughter and a shared conversation that opened the gateway to more information.
And speaking of sharing villages, Nance, your story as well takes us to many parts of the world. I was extremely taken by the fact that there are parts of Canada that midwives really have to deal with all kinds of issues. As you were filming the delivery line, you faced all kinds of issues too, because it's not necessarily that everybody was going to be able to talk to you, but your footage also was so powerful. You take us into a birth I mean, it was so amazing and so touching. Hopeful as well, even though there are some of the issues that you talk about that make us think, wow, this is very sad and this is very tragic. But you bring out hope as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a pretty big honor. We had 2.5 births in the film, and I don't want to do any spoilers, but there's sort of a surprise one at the end. But one of them was in Nigeria, and it was actually because being in Nigeria, you can't travel, you can't be out. Well, we weren't allowed outside. It's the first time I've actually traveled with an NGO like that. I usually travel on my own. I don't, and my own crew and my own fixers. And we were in, when you're in that much of a war zone, you need more protection. And what happened is that we traveled for almost 3.5, 4 hours on Borno State roads, which I've never been on roads like that, and I've been all over the world on very rough roads. And we got there, and you can't travel any time during magic hour. There's no dawn traveling, there's no sunset traveling, because you have to be, safe and sound before it gets dark. So it's the middle of the day, middle of the heat, 4 hours driving. Got out of the cars, and the midwife came up, gave me a big hug, and said, "Oh, we've got a birth happening right now." And we were like, what? Because we'd been working on this since 2018, hadn't gotten a birth. And so it was wonderful. And it was such an honor. Aisha was so generous. And I've had two babies, and I understand that once you get into labor, you don't care. It doesn't bother you who's around. But she was so generous and very loving, and it was a very it was a little scary at times, but it was really wonderful to be there and document it. I've been at a lot of births, but this was really kind of wonderful to be there.
The midwives that you focus on in the delivery line share a commonality too, because they really care, and under different circumstances, it shows the compassion of women around the world and how they care when they don't necessarily have to. I mean, they could go on doing many other things, but especially in some of the countries that you feature, they're their only hope. They're their only hope of having a successful childbirth and saving the lives of important people.
I mean, my experience with midwives anywhere in the world, it's not just on the front lines of all these, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they love bringing children into the world in a nurturing, compassionate, safe way, and empowering mothers. They actually, we had a big debate about the title, because it's delivery, and actually midwives don't really love that term. But they call it, they're just there to catch a baby. They catch babies, and unfortunately that title had already been taken. So we went with that. But it's very evident that they are there to empower and allow a woman to do what she has the strength to do. So it's, yeah, I think that's universal with midwifery.
Pam, as I always mention, you always bring on some of the most fascinating filmmakers to our discussions here on the WBJO Journal, and once again, you've done it. But I must say, I think these two films maybe have topped anything that I have seen at the Women's International Film Festival. Brilliant work. As I mentioned to Nance before we started, it's not just the storytelling. It's not just the issues that they're talking about. That you learn history, you learn about women helping women, you learn about women dealing with their various cultures. And I'm sure that's why you have selected them for this Women's International Film Festival.
Absolutely, Doug. Both films deeply resonated with me for di different reasons. With the delivery line, my great grandmother was a midwife, and I hearing about the importance of midwifery and the lack of exposure. Many people still don't realize that midwives played something in the community. They were sometimes the only physician that a community had. They were the counselor for domestic disputes. And so the role was so important. And we did screen Catching Babies a number of years ago, the film from Texas. And Doug, I think that we had a filmmaker for a conversation. So the delivery line was personal. And I was really to see that the screeners thought so also, because we have a team of people who evaluate the films. Every film goes through the process. And with Gelling, when I first saw the film, it was at the Canadian Mission. The NGO Committee on Migration screened it as part of International Day of Migration. And I was taken aback because it was a story that I really didn't know. I knew people who lived in my community, African-American people, Indian or Pakistani lineage, but I didn't know the story. So this film really was educational as well as just very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we watch, right? We want to learn. We want to be inspired. But the footage is so extraordinary in these two films that you have to see it to appreciate it. You just can't talk about it. I mean, you just can't. You have to see the film. So how can you see the films? Well, you go to the festival, and let's tell you when these films are going to be screened. On Thursday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Cranford Theater will be the delivery line, midwives on the front lines. And then on Saturday, August 1st at 10 a.m., the Bengali at the Newark Public Library. Kaveri, let's talk about the fact that traveling with Fatima through these remote areas. You talked about the reception that you got, but there were many people in the town weren't quite sure. Why was she here? What does she want? If she wants land, and also religion comes into play in your film as well. So there's so many impacts. Do you feel that it was important that she let people know that she was Christian in a Muslim town?
I think it was important for both sides to be who they are. It's the meeting of differences, and there's no artificiality about it. I think it's also important to show the curiosity of the villagers. They'd never seen an American before. And so it was important for them to be who they are. She had not been in a mosque ever before. They had never met a Christian before. So it's natural that there would be curiosity between both sides, culturally, in terms of faith, in terms of food, which, you know, is different from some of the food we get in Indian restaurants now. It can be unfamiliar. The way of life is unfamiliar. There are so many differences. It was absolutely critical to capture the differences, to see if people could come together, just jumping those hurdles, letting each other in to be family. And that's what it was about. And I wanted, as a filmmaker, I wanted to get the, when I saw how they were looking at her, and I said to my camera person, we have to get this. This is part of the story. When they started confiding in me as a fellow Bengali-speaking Indian about their concerns, I said, we have to get this. It's part of the story. It's about two parallel lives, even about the land. She wants to see. We understand what that's about. She wants to see where her grandfather came from. She wants to see the land that he farmed. They live by farming. Why would you come from the other side of the world to see a plot of land? I wanted to capture all of that. And I wanted to just keep going on my privilege, as I would say, of being able to get both sides. I understood where she was coming from as an American. I understood where they were coming from as an Indian, not as a villager, of course, as an urban Indian, but nevertheless, that's part of the story, how strangers can meet and cross those barriers.
Another part of this brilliant film is it would have been fine if the journey didn't have its pitfalls, right? Okay, everything works out great, but it doesn't. Looking at records, we don't have those records. We don't know what you're talking. We don't know this person. And it just added to the power of the ending of the story because I just think it's real life, right? When you go on journeys, there's always some hurdles in the way of something that may end up to be quite beautiful. But it's not just a breeze. And your film certainly shows that. And I congratulate you on it.
Thank you. And let me just say that how many of us really have records of our great grandparents, but we have the curiosity and the eagerness to know more. That's what inspired this journey. And then, of course, we ran into all the problems when today's people want documentation or proof or actual knowledge of something that you can't have.
Nance, as you look at your film, The Delivery Line, I know that you went through the same kind of issues. You wanted to tell various stories, and you do it so well, so quickly. You go with beautiful editing from different countries, but in Canada, can you talk a little bit about what was going on in Canada?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the choice to include Canada was extremely important. We felt this was not a sort of a Western gaze looking at all the problems around the world, when right in everyone's backyard here. I mean, I literally, I live in the country in Nova Scotia, and it's one of the poorest municipalities in the country. And we have all kinds of social issues happening right here. Toronto is no exception. In fact, it is in the middle of a major housing crisis, as much of North America is. And that housing crisis has resulted in women, 300 women a year giving birth on the street, And I think I just needed to have that. And there's people lying on the streets, as I go to work every day in Toronto, and those people need just as much help as that person. In a small village in Borno State or in Afghanistan. So I think we needed that relatability. And our midwife also had such a history. I mean, she was one of the first midwives licensed in the country. She's from the LGBTQ community. She's hilarious, actually, and very protective of her clients. So if you notice in the film, it's one of the few we didn't get her, but only with for 1 minute with, because she was very protective and but still had a story to tell. So that's why Canada's in there.
Kaveri, how important is it to have women filmmakers?
It's very important. That goes without saying. I think that without women filmmakers, you're missing half the story. It's important for women to tell their stories. It's important for women and men to benefit from those stories because, again, it's our story. It's the story of our human experience.
Both of our filmmakers here, Nance Ackerman and Kaveri Kaul, have made the right choices in their respective projects that will be screened at the 2026 Women in Media Newark's Women's International Film Festival. You can see The Delivery Line, Midwives on the Front Lines, Thursday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Cranford Theater. And you can see The Bengali, Saturday, August 1st at 10 a.m. at the Newark Public Library. I want to thank our filmmakers here today, as well as the Executive Director of Women in Media Newark, Pamela Morgan. As we continue our conversation on the WBGO YouTube channel right now, you can see the entire interview. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.